Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Well, good Sunday morning. Happy July 1st. It is Canada Day in Canada. I don't know if they call it Dominion Day anymore. They used to, I think. If you're Canadian, you know, call in and let me correct me if you need to. But Canada got their independence 145 years ago, I think, if I've done my math correctly, Derek. Big hockey country now. They've made a lot of contributions, I guess, in some factor or another. Let me say, I was just up in Canada this last week and learned a few things, and including the fact that they kicked our butts in 1812. We lost three big battles against Canada before the Brits burned down our capital, and that's what you learn when you watch pay-per-view sometimes. So, but beautiful country. Haven't been up there in a few years, and went to Niagara Falls with my lovely wife. And had a great time. Very nice. So before we move on to all the big stories we have going on this week, let's do a little business. My sponsor this half hour is Max Marina in Whitmore Lake. 734-449-4706. You can reach Sam and the boys up there. They will take care of your boating needs. It's the only full-service marina on Whitmore Lake. And you can go to Max Marina, www.maxmacsmarina.com. And again, that phone number, 734-449-4706. I'm going to get out on the lake today and hopefully enjoy myself a little bit. Big stories this week. Man, Derek, do we have a load. I imagine down here working with Theron, this place was just a madhouse this week, wasn't it? Yeah. Crazy, crazy week. I was mad as a, well, I won't even say it. Derek, you better stay close to that dump button this morning. You know, I've done some soul searching after dealing with this Obamacare and the SCOTUS ruling on it. I went through the whole phase where they say depression, anger, whatever. But I, honestly, when you get done with it, it's just one more government problem that you got to take a look at and find a way to deal with. We're going to start out this week with that because it's typical of the hypocrisy. You know, while they were trying to pass it, they kept saying it's not a tax. It's a penalty on those who utilize services in the medical field and yet don't have to pay for it. Well, kind of strange that they would say that since the Supreme Court ruled that it is indeed a tax. Let's go with track one, Derek. This is our grand leader, Obama, talking about Obamacare when he was trying to sell this package of goods to us.
You know that. Look, we can have a legitimate debate about whether or not we're going to have an individual mandate or not. But
you reject that it's a tax increase.
I absolutely reject that notion.
Let's go to Medicare then, because you also said that no one will lose what they have. And Senator Bill Nelson, a Democrat, says that the cuts you're looking at in the Medicare Advantage program are going to force people to lose coverage they now have.
Okay, so he was saying it was a tax, or saying it wasn't a tax, and then also said that you're not going to have any cuts to Medicare. Well, that's already happened. For you older folks, they've already taken $500 billion out of the Medicare fund to pay for all the new people that are going to come on board. Now, the five-justice majority of this week, 5 out of 9, said that imposing this law, for not buying health insurance would be unconstitutional unless it is a tax, and Congress does have the authority to tax. Ergo, it is, in the eyes of the court and the law, a tax. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said Friday that it's still just a penalty. Well, not according to the Supreme Court justices, it's a tax. Now, Carney went on to say Friday that only about 1% of Americans, those who refuse to get health insurance, will be affected by this. Now, really, they say 20 million people are uninsured and would be covered by this. 20 million is a lot more than just 1%. It doesn't make sense to me, excuse me, that 1% will be affected. We're giving 20 million people coverage. So are you saying that the other part of that percentage are all illegal aliens? Is that what you're saying, Mr. Carney? What it means in the end is that this is a giant tax increase on all of us who either have insurance or don't want insurance. It's a tax. Thank you, Mr. Obama, for raising the taxes on us. Now, we've all heard those commentary from Obama saying he will not tax us. And I think we're going to play it later on here. But in the end, you have to deal with it. So we'll talk about Justice John Roberts in a bit. But why he did what he did is inconsequential to what we have to do now. We need to get off our duffs and go back to work. Roberts stressed himself, even though he was in the majority ruling it constitutional, stressed that the decision does not speak to the merits of the law. We do not consider whether the act embodies sound policies. That judgment is entrusted to the nation's elected leaders, which means, in turn, it's up to us. Roberts is saying it is constitutional, but he's probably agreeing, by the sound of it, that he's not happy with it. That's the way the law works sometimes. You may not be happy with it, but it is the law. They did rule, rein in one part of this law, though, and that was expansion of Medicaid across the country. The opinion allows Washington to offer more funding to states to expand the program, but says the federal government cannot penalize states for not participating in the new program by withholding existing Medicaid funds. Now, what that means is the states have a little more leeway now, and let's hope they take it. Now, we know Governor Rick Snyder is trying to roll into these health care exchanges. He's a pro-Obamacare guy, I think. If not, Rick, call in and let me know otherwise. But being a rhino that you seem to be on so many issues, I'm assuming this is another one that you join Obama on. So, did Roberts flip-flop on this? It's hard to say. Until you start doing, it's a 193-page opinion. I'm going to put a link to it on the site this afternoon, but I just started doing my homework yesterday. And it looks like throughout this process that at one point he was indeed in favor of throwing Obamacare out. The dissent, which has been written by the four conservative judges, constantly refer to Ruth Bader Ginsburg's argument as the dissent or minority opinion, suggesting she was at one time in the minority. We must observe that rewriting the penalty as a tax in order to sustain its constitutionality would force us to confront a difficult constitutional question, and whether this is a direct tax that must be apportioned among the states according to their population. Perhaps not. Now, that item right there says that they were saying if it's a tax, you can't just penalize certain people with it. You have to apportion it out to all of us. Taxing us is a fair thing to do, but you have to do it fairly. You can't just say it's okay to tax certain people. That would be unconstitutional. So it looks like they threw it out originally as an argument. But somebody, possibly Roberts or a group of them, brought it back in that, hey, this is a tax, and we should run with it that way. You hear a lot of the pundits saying he may have done it for other reasons. And he was trying to burnish the image of the court. He was trying to get the upstanding popularity of the court to be better. I'm hoping it wasn't those things, because if that was the case, this man was not doing his job as a constitutional lawyer. You should not be worried about your image or the image of Congress or the image of the president when you're making these kind of decisions. When we come back, we're going to dig into Chief Roberts' wording, as they say, in the opinion. But I'm going to encourage all of you to go online and look at this yourself. So we'll see you on the other side of the break.
With columns by Wham! Radio hosts like Theyrone X, Dave Janda, and Matt Clark, as well as the Capital Confidential and Herman Cain, you know that the current newspaper understands what's right. This free newspaper has been serving Livingston and Washtenaw counties since 2003 with area news, editorials, an event calendar, and more. Published monthly by Whitmore Lake Media, LLC, the current newspaper includes a variety of interesting articles from Deb's Movie Corner and Ask the Contractor to the Legal Spot, Garden Spot, and a fishing column. Whitmore Lake has some great fishing. You might even see a picture of your neighbor reading The Current in an exotic faraway land. Visit www.currentonline.com. That's currentonline.com. Subscribe for home delivery, details on the website, or pick one up free today. The Current Newspaper, a community newspaper for those with common sense. On September 20th, 2004, station WAAM-AM was granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest as a public trustee until October 1st, 2012. Our license will expire October 1st, 2012. We have filed an application for license renewal with the FCC. A copy of this application is available for public inspection during our regular business hours. It contains information concerning this station's performance since May 16th, 2011. Individuals who wish to advise the FCC of facts relating to our renewal application and to whether this station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the FCC by September 1st, 2012. Further information concerning the FCC's broadcast license renewal process is available at station WAAM-AM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, Michigan, or may be obtained from the FCC, Washington, D.C., 20554.
Experience traditional Mexican cuisine from Taqueria La Fiesta at home or at work. We offer free local deliveries within a 5-mile radius for purchases over $17 or a small $3 charge for orders under $17. This is real Mexican food for your family you'll enjoy and love.
Taqueria La Fiesta, 4060 Packard Road in Ann Arbor. Give them a call, 734-477-9240. Open Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 to 6, Thursday through Saturday, 10 to 9, Sundays, 10 to 4.
Experience traditional Mexican food and taste the difference at Taqueria La Fiesta.
No matter where you are in the world, whether you have a radio or not, you can listen to Wham! Talk 1600. All you need is a computer or even a smartphone. Just go to whamradio.com and click on the Listen Live link. See the latest updates to whamradio.com and be sure to listen live. From Windsor to Grand Rapids, Miami to Alpena, wherever you may be, Wham! Talk 1600 is there, online and streaming live. whamradio.com. When you start your day, you want the latest information, news from around the world, and close to home. Wake up with an hour of Jim Bohannon's America in the Morning, 5 a.m. to 6. From 6 to 9 a.m., Wham! Brings you intelligent, conservative discussions that won't give you a headache. It's Bill Bennett's Morning in America, 9 to noon. You don't want to miss Glenn Beck, one of the most entertaining talk shows in America today. At noon, Laura Ingraham rips the left to shreds. She tells it like she sees it and doesn't hold back. Followed at 3 p.m. by Theyrone X and On the Edge. Don't let yourself be a boiling frog. Get informed with Theyrone. 6 p.m. to 9, it's The Savage Nation with Michael Savage. With Dennis Miller, 9 to 11. Overnight, experience the supernatural with Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie will keep you alert all night long. We're Wham! Talk 1600.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His parents could only hope that one day he would leave the hospital healthy. and they would all live happily ever after. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year. You can help the March of Dimes stop premature birth and bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from WHAM Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enemedia are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at WHAM Talk 1600. Yeah!
You're listening to The Drift on WHAM Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. Beautiful 1st of July. It's going to be a great day out there, so make sure you get out in the sun. Put your sunscreen on. You don't want to raise those costs of Obamacare any farther than they have to be. And rationing is coming, so they probably won't let you get away with some skin repair. Feeling a little rough this morning. I don't know what I've got going on down my sinus cavity here, Derek, but it's making it pretty tough on me. We have a call on line one. Let's see. Good morning, caller. Who's this?
Happy birthday to you.
All right, nice. Well, there you go. That's my family. You can tell singing doesn't run. Yeah, singing doesn't run in the family. So that doesn't come from my parents, obviously. Hi, Mom and Dad, my sister and brother-in-law. Good to see you guys or hear you guys. Thank you very much for that birthday wish. It is my birthday today, July 1st.
I suggest you go back to your stuff. You're doing good.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in. That's awesome. Yeah, I love you too. We'll talk to you guys later today.
Bye.
All right. So there you go. Thank you very much. Nice to hear from my parents in the morning. I knew that was coming. I didn't think I'd get the serenade, though. We were talking about, before the break, Chief Justice Roberts, John Roberts. Now, I went through, and I imagine a lot of conservatives and even independents who are tired of the nonsense would be upset this week. And I went through that whole gamut of emotions. I was mad. I tar and feather the guy, whatever. But I think there's more to the story here. I went online and started reading through. And very quickly, you find some of the parts that stick out. Now, Chief Roberts concluded in Part 3A of this opinion that the individual mandate is not, I repeat, is not a valid exercise of Congress's power under the Commerce Clause and the Necessary and Proper Clause. This page is 1630A. Constitution grants Congress the power to regulate commerce. The power to regulate commerce presupposes the existence of commercial activity to be regulated. Now, what that means is there's got to be activity, commercial activity going on for them to regulate it. The individual mandate, however, does not regulate existing commercial activity. It compels individuals to become active in commerce by purchasing this product. Saying on the grounds that it's the failure to do so would affect interstate commerce. Now, what they're saying is, what Roberts is saying, it doesn't pass muster under the Commerce Clause. And that's a good thing, because had they done so, they would have been able to say, we have to buy broccoli, we have to do all those things. And once you head down that slippery slope, you've got a huge problem. So Roberts did something good in this by limiting that Commerce Clause. Now, that's the one that the U.S. government has been shoving down our throats to take more and more control. And for him to stop it in this direction is a godsend, because it's quite clearly stated. And this will be used by future lawyers to stop the Commerce Clause from being used. So that's a good thing. If there's a silver lining, there's that. How big a point that is, I don't know. I'm still doing my homework. But it made me think twice before I wanted to come in and berate on the air this gentleman on the Supreme Court, because there's always more to the story. And I think each one of us needs to withhold judgment until we do our homework. The framers knew the difference between doing something and regulating it and doing nothing and regulating it. They gave Congress the power to regulate commerce, not compel you to be involved in commerce. That's huge. So we need to look at that, because ignoring the distinction would undermine the principle that the federal government is a government of limited and enumerated powers, not an all-powerful entity that can do whatever it wants to and force us to do whatever it wants us to do. But it is still a tax. And of course, that's the power Congress has had all along. The nice thing about that is Congress can undo that tax when they're ready. They'll only be ready if we reelect a GOP House, which we have right now, a GOP president, which we need right now, and a GOP Senate. So what that means here in Michigan, we have Debbie Stabenow to de-elect. And if you want to get rid of Obamacare, you got to do two things. We need to get rid of President Obama by electing a new leader, Romney in this case. And we need to get rid of Debbie Stabenow. We have to make every possible attempt to get her out of office and replace her with somebody who's got a little common sense. We're going to play that Debbie Spend It Now, Derek. If you ever find that, we're going to play that again today. I love that. I need a good laugh. So, in part 3B of the opinion, Roberts concluded that the individual mandate must be construed as imposing a tax on those who do not have health insurance. And that's where I have a problem with what he said. Because is not a tax supposed to be fair? Don't we all pay income tax at some level? Don't we all pay tax on gas when we use it? Don't we all pay tax on computers and televisions when we buy them? But oddly enough, this is a tax on something you're not using. Only those who are not using it. But what about the poor guy who chooses not to buy insurance and is unbreakable, never gets sick, never gets a cold, never uses emergency care? And yet we're penalizing him and forcing him to buy something or contribute to something that he's not using. That's scary. I don't think that portion is fair. I don't think that portion is constitutional. That's what bothers me about this ruling. I'm going to keep doing my homework, and I really want all of you to do that as well. I'll get that link up at currantonline.com, CourantOnline.com. Click on the Daily Drift. That's why I bring these stories to you, because you're probably not getting them on Channel 2, 4, and 7, or on MSNBC if you're stuck watching that trash. What does this Obamacare decision mean for you? Well, it's not going to change a whole lot until it gets taken away anyways, but it was already here. Obamacare has already started raising your premiums. If you haven't seen your premiums go up, let me know. I want to know what insurance company you're using. Our premiums have gone up. Everybody's premiums have already gone up. For starters, the penalty law imposed on employers who don't provide insurance is much lower than the cost of the insurance itself, which tells you this. As this proceeds, as Obamacare goes into full working mode, you're going to see a lot of companies say, I'm not going to bother providing insurance. I'm going to let you go in under the government program. So that's the lead-in to a single-payer system that Obama wants and that the liberals want. They're framing it in a way that will tell employers, don't bother. You're better off going the other direction. Let us take care of it for you. So what you'll see is your insurance dropped, and you'll have to go through the government exchange. It'll offer a limited selection of approved Cadillac policies from the base level to those that are very nice, like our government people get. And we've got a call, Derek, and I don't think I have. There we go. Oh, we got Ken from Livonia. Welcome aboard, Ken. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, doing pretty good.
Glad to have you with us.
I had to disagree with you a little bit.
Oh, well, that's completely okay, Ken. I'm used to it. Come on, give me what you got.
Well, I think that we need to definitely criticize John Roberts. I don't think that ruling had any positive outcome whatsoever. In fact, the one issue that's not being touched on is the fact that what they've done, what the Supreme Court has done, has made the American people subjects underneath the boot of the federal government. I mean, the way it's supposed to be is we're supposed to be citizens underneath the U.S. Constitution, but now the federal government can dictate pretty much anything they want. And that's what's come out of this Supreme Court ruling.
Right. Well, I'll agree with you there. We are under the jackboot of the federal government, but I think we've been there a while. I think this is just one more tiny little toothpick that is going to weigh down and break the camel's back before too long. So I'll agree with you there. I'm going to do my homework and dig through this some more and see what the benefits is. I mean, I have to agree. I think they would have been – I don't see what the downside for those of us who love freedom would have been had they ruled against it and called it completely unconstitutional. I think that would have been, without a doubt, the best alternative. And I was surprised, you know, that they didn't do that. I really am. We're going to go into a break. Ken, thanks for calling. I love getting those calls from you. You make a good point.
Take care.
Take care. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Thank you for catching my drift this morning, and see you in a minute.
On the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Liz White. Violent storms knock out power to millions in the mid-Atlantic states, many longing for AC.
There's every expectation that 3 million people without power may not have it for days to come. That with temperatures hovering around the 100-degree mark for the next several days. Crews have been called from as far away as Texas and Canada.
Fox's Doug McElway, the storms killed 13 people. Emergencies declared in Maryland, West Virginia, Ohio, Virginia, and D.C. Wildfire evacuees allowed back to their homes near Colorado Springs. All people reported missing in the Waldo Canyon fire have been accounted for, but the El Paso County Sheriff's Department is dealing with another problem.
We've actually had an invasion of bears in Green Mountain Falls. So we are working with DOW to try to persuade them to vacate the area.
Sheriff Terry McKetta, the fire destroyed close to 350 homes. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Calling all dreamers, join the Dexter District Library for this year's summer reading program beginning Friday, June 15th at 11 a.m. Readers from preschool through sixth grade will celebrate the library's theme, Dream Big, Read. Teens will own the night and adults can read between the covers. Read for fun all summer long and enjoy night-related performances, events, music, contests, prizes, and more. The summer reading program runs until August 3rd. Stop in at the Dexter District Library to pick up a flyer of all the summer events. The Alzheimer's Association Michigan Great Lakes Chapter is seeking sponsors and golfers to participate in the 2012 Ann Arbor Charity Golf Outing. It'll be Monday, July 9th at Travis Point Country Club. All proceeds raised from this outing will support local programs and services, including the Alzheimer's Association's 24/7 helpline, education programs, support groups, and family counseling services. The golf fee for the event is $200 per person or $800 per team of four. Corporate sponsorship are also available. For more information about the outing and sponsorship opportunities or to register for the event, please call 734-475-7043 or visit www.alz.org/mglc.
The Sunday Artisan Market at 315 Detroit Street in Ann Arbor is open every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. April through December. For more information, call 734-913-9622 or visit www.sundayartisanmarket.org.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
This is the Clark Cast with Matt Clark.
At what point does the president actually follow the law? And how do you justify, these are rhetorical questions, but how do you justify him a couple months ago saying that he didn't have the authority, he didn't have the power to do what he just did?
With respect to the notion that I can just suspend deportations through executive order, that's just not the case.
Don't miss the Clark Cast, live Sunday afternoons, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Thank you for tuning in and catching my drift this Sunday morning, July 1st. We're talking about Obamacare and the SCOTUS ruling, saying it is constitutional, but as a tax, and not the individual mandate that would allow them under the Commerce Clause to make us buy other things. Calling in, we have our own great 7th District Congressman, Tim Walberg. How are you doing this morning, Tim?
Gary, I'm doing well. It's a nice 73 degrees outside, and what a relief for a while.
Yes, beautiful day. Beautiful day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you home or are you in Washington?
We're home.
Good.
Back in the district for the 4th of July week, and have quite a few parades, and we also have three town halls coming up next week, and things like that, so we're back for a full week.
Great, great. Well, make sure you send us that information on email, and I'll post it at The Drift and The Current Online for you so we can get as many people out to those as we can.
Well, thank you.
Hey, so let us know. Now, I know you're not happy with the ruling. Is there a silver lining to this at all?
Well, the only silver lining to it comes in two forms. One, I think, very strong, and that's the fact that the decision by the Supreme Court, especially when the Chief Justice John Roberts, who was generally thought to be up until the last two opinions, to be a solid constitutionalist, original construction and all of that, has gone wrong on the immigration rule for Arizona, and now on this, it has ignited our base, I believe, to get out and make sure that this president doesn't have an opportunity to appoint justices in the future, and that we can start to dismantle and repeal and replace Obamacare and the like. We are in a situation now in people's minds, having seen this happen, that we truly believe that our American freedoms, our American dream, and more importantly, our Constitution is under attack. And the only way to change that is to put another administration in that will commit itself to the Constitution and the rule of law. Secondly, in ruling, and it was an interesting ruling that you've probably gotten into, so we won't get into the weeds on it, but it was interesting that the Commerce Clause, which was the main argument that this administration had, that we should be forcing American citizens to buy something against their will or forcing them to buy anything, the Commerce Clause was shown to be inadequate and not appropriate for what this was done or anything else. So that was a good thing. Making the decision on the basis of a tax code does do one thing. It allows, without any problem or any constitutional challenge, Congress to amend and reform the tax code, even if it is just to reform it in such a way that it will not allow funding to go toward Obamacare. So the Congress has the opportunity to that on a simple majority vote in the House and Senate to change that. And if we get to our work and make sure we have a Senate next time around that at least be a working majority of people who understand freedom, whether they be Republican or Democrat, we have an opportunity to make that change.
Yes, and we're doing everything we can to help that happen. We wish we could do more to get rid of Debbie Stabenow as our state senator. We do need a GOP. We need some balance in this state. I mean, how have you worked with her? It would make me pull my hair out having to deal with that person.
Well, I dealt with Debbie as a colleague in the state house for about 10 years, and she's an interesting person. She's a likable person when she's out meeting the public. She's kind of a hail fellow well met. She will tell you what you want to hear in a campaign situation. Sadly, when she gets into the voting process back in whatever position she is, she's a reliable liberal. And so right now we have an opportunity to say, Debbie, we like you personally, but we don't like your votes. We don't like the fact you supported Obamacare. We don't like the fact that you supported the stimulus. We don't like the fact that you support the EPA takeover our freedoms. We don't like all of that, and that's not helping our country. No matter how we like you as a person, this has to change, and you've shown over the course of many years in the state legislature and now in the U.S. Congress, both House and Senate, that you will be a reliable liberal, and that's not going to work for our freedoms.
Right. Yeah, I mean, no matter what you guys do in the House, you're stopped by the Senate at this point and Obama, as long as we have those people there. And so it's frustrating. I can understand how you must feel sometime. Now, this week, you guys are going to repeal Obamacare at the House level, correct?
We will, and people are questioning why we would do that, and it's primarily liberals that are questioning that, because we've done that twice already. We've done exactly what we told the American public when we asked them to give us the opportunity to lead the House and put us back in the majority, even though they didn't trust us any more than they trusted Democrats, and it's going to take a while for us to earn that trust back because, frankly, the Republican Party gave it away by acting like Democrat light for a number of years.
Yeah,
and that's not what our platform says. That's not what our philosophy is, and we'd better get back to what it is. And so we've been trying to do that this term and demonstrate to the people that in our leadership position as a majority in the House, we are justifiably Republican, and that our consistent pattern has been to try to restore freedoms and limit government and make really the whole exceptionalism of America is, and that's its people, let them be great again. And so we've said we would repeal and replace Obamacare. That's been stopped in the Senate twice already. We're going to go at it again as a demonstration point that if you give us a working majority, we will be able to accomplish a repeal and replacement of Obamacare, and it will not come in a 2,700-page bill. But it'll come with just the simple basics that the American people are asking for. Give us competition and allow us the opportunity to reduce the cost of some great care that we can receive, but we just can't pay for it now. The delivery system is a challenge for us. And we can do that with some simple amendments and law changes that deal with tort reform. That's malpractice and frivolous lawsuits and all that go on there. We can deal with it by giving the opportunity to purchase across state lines, so expand the competitive base and the variety of insurances that are there, thus reducing cost, and then giving some opportunity to small businesses if they want to provide insurance to their people to join together in an economy of scale with others so they can purchase, like the Big Three, for instance, insurance at a reduced cost for their employees. Those changes, and there's a number of other things we can do, are very limited and yet allow that free market capitalist free enterprise system to work for our health care as well as everything else.
Is it possible to get Boehner to approve another vote on balanced budget before the election?
Oh, yeah. I think it would be very possible to do that. We have done that twice already, and we forced the Senate to take a vote on the balanced budget amendment. It failed, of course, on a basically straight party line vote. We could do that again. We can do almost anything in the House like that because we do have the votes. I mean, even saw this week on the Eric Holder contempt of Congress vote. We had 17 Democrats come with us. We passed that contempt resolution overwhelmingly.
Yes, and thank you for doing that, Tim. You know, that means a lot to the family, and it means a lot to those of us who know what's going on. So any of those people that walked out, including Nancy Pelosi and the rest of them, shame on them. They are not fit to be in that office.
Well, I was sitting there on the floor of the House because I was involved with the debate, since I sit on that Oversight and Government Reform Committee that took 18 months of trying to get to the bottom. We listened to the Terry family. We listened to the whistleblowers from ATF who were basically, in certain cases, screamed at their superiors saying, you can't do this. This will not work. We tried this under a wide receiver. Even though we kept track of the guns, it didn't work. And if we do it this way, when we don't even keep track of the weapons, 2,000 weapons, assault rifles and others that we gave to the drug cartels to walk across, somebody's going to get killed. And frankly, that is the huge shame that not only highly respected, decorated officer, Marine served with distinction, law enforcement official back here in Michigan, and then becomes a border agent, Brian Terry, serves well and gets murdered on our soil, not in Mexican soil, but our soil, by a drug cartel using our weapons that we'd allowed to walk across. That's unconscionable. We did 18 months of hearings, and I was in every one of those, and I questioned the Attorney General, and he blew up at me and said, hey, I'm the Attorney General of the United States. I'm offended by you suggesting that we did this to try to make it appear that our gun laws were allowing all these things to walk. We wouldn't. I said, listen, all the evidence points to the fact that you don't like the Second Amendment, that you don't like the laws that we have, and you're trying to make it appear that we're the problem, and it's not us. And I'm the congressman. I'm asking you the questions, Mr. Attorney General, with all due respect. I mean, that's the type of thing that went on. And finally, when push came to shove and he would not release information that we needed, even some information that we find out they released to the press, they wouldn't release to Congress, we had to hold him in contempt. And so things can be done. They have to be done in order and through the process. But they have been done, and I think we can do many more things if we're given just the chance to have a working Senate, even if they're not in full agreement with the House. If they'll at least work, we can accomplish something good for the American people.
Well, I was going to hit on this later in the show. For Obama to claim executive privilege over this, does he not have to have knowledge of what went on for this to be an executive privilege situation?
Yeah, it's interesting you ask that. Well, that's a question American people ought to be asking. If he all this time said he knew nothing about this, heard nothing about it, had no involvement in it, then by rights he does not have the opportunity to use executive privilege. He doesn't have to, but he can't use executive privilege unless someone, at least in his administration, has been involved or has some knowledge. And so it says to all of us, when we heard that come out, Mr. President, thou doth protest too much for too long. This says to us that either you or someone in your administration, high up, had some knowledge of it. So why have you been stonewalling us? Why have you not been instructing the Attorney General of the United States to follow the rule of law and at least open the information to us and let us make our decisions, unless you're trying to hide something? And frankly, that leads me to believe again, even more so, that this was all done to try to make it appear that it was our gun laws that were the problem, and so we need to restrict the Second Amendment liberties of our citizens still further. And that is unconscionable. That is un-American. And we need to push back against that in any way possible. And so while there will be others, many voices that will decry what the U.S. House did this week in holding the Attorney General for the first time in history in contempt of Congress, it was the right thing to do. He still has the opportunity to come forth under law right now. It's a criminal offense he's under. I know his U.S. attorney probably won't prosecute it. So then we'll have to go the second route, and that's through the civil courts. That could be a long, drawn-out process, and who knows how that will turn out. But the Attorney General could satisfy that altogether right now by releasing to us the pages of documents that we've been asking for that will prove him to be right or proven to be wrong, and we can get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, and I, for one, would like to know. I mean, I'm finding it very suspicious. Tim, can you stay with us? We got a caller, Jenny, from Brownstown, who wants to make a comment. Can you hang with us?
Sure.
Derek, you want to patch that through? I'm not sure how to bring in that other. Jenny, good morning. Oh, we may have lost her. Oh, we lost her. We'll have to have her. Jenny, call back in. Sorry we lost her. She had a comment she wanted to make. Jenny's a longtime listener. So, Tim, let me ask you one other thing. I think I've mentioned it to before. In order to solve our housing crisis, has anyone at the in the House looked at the idea of taking capital gains off property investments for a short time, maybe a 12-month period? Is there a way to do that and get the housing market re-going again?
I think there would be a way to do that as long as we have the will.
Yeah.
And the problem is the Senate, the only will that the leadership of the Senate has is to make it appear, and I think this is at the behest of the President of the United States, make it appear that he has to work with a non-functioning Congress, a do-nothing Congress, as he calls us. Well, it's only a do-nothing Senate.
Right.
So capital gains, there are. We put through bills in the House for tax structure reform, which includes reducing and suspending capital gains tax, which goes back to doing away with the inheritance tax or the death tax, a number of things that would spur our economy on, encourage investment, encourage expansion, and it goes to the Senate and it languishes there and goes nowhere, and the president's able to say, if you could just give me a functioning Congress, as opposed to do-nothing Congress, I could get something done, when in fact that's exactly what he wants us to be, and I think he's in collaboration with Harry Reid to make sure that even though it looks bad on the Senate, it can be parlayed into a full Congress that does nothing.
Right. Yes, he's a consummate political activist, making sure he does everything to get reelected as opposed to doing what needs to be done. Let's patch Jenny in real quick and get a comment from her, Derek. Good morning, Jenny. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Gary. Good morning, Congressman.
Morning, Jenny.
I just wanted to thank you for all you do, even though you're not in my district. I wish you were, but I just want to encourage you to keep on going because there's been so much corruption and stuff going on. We need to get these people out.
We really do. I concur with you, and November 6th is that opportunity. And I tell the people, no matter how conservative I am, and I think my consistent record shows that, but right now the issue is making sure that Barack Obama is not our president the next time around, and that we have a working majority of conservatives and Republicans in the House and Senate to make this happen. So sometimes the perfect is the enemy of the necessary. And I'm hoping that people will see anything they do that hinders, in this case, Mitt Romney, who's our presumptive nominee, from being president, and the House remaining in control of the conservatives, and the Senate at least becoming a working majority of conservatives to make something happen. Anything that prohibits that from taking place is bad.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your call,
thank
Jenny.
You.
Okay.
So, speaking of that, Tim, so it is an election year. I have heard word nothing from any of your opponents. Do we have anyone competing against you for this seat this year?
Well, we do. I have one primary opponent, and I have two Democrats that are vying in their primary to go against me. So one of them will be in the race. Both of them support Obamacare. Both of them would support Nancy Pelosi being Speaker of the House. That will be their first vote, no matter what they say. That vote will be required. And if that's the case, we know what happened when she was Speaker of the House before.
Right.
That's not a good thing. And both of them would support EPA regulation. Both would support continued public sector union primacy. I mean, right now, the private sector unions like UAW, AFL-CIO are nothing in comparison in their strength, their power, and their numbers to the public sector unions. These are state, municipal, and federal employees. Nothing wrong with them, per se, but their unions are so strong, so powerful, and they're using taxpayer dollars to do all of this against the people who pay their wages. That's you and me, the taxpayer. And my opponents will certainly be in their camp and supporting their efforts.
Right. Well, you know you have my full endorsement. Ever since we had lunch together, I don't know, several years back, You have always been 99.9% on the same page as me, so I'm very happy with your performance. And do you have a website, Tim, that people can go to?
We do. Our official website is walberg.house.gov, and you can keep track of what's taking place in the U.S. House and my voting record on that site and some other issues. There's also a way on that that website to sign up for our weekly update newsletter, which comes out in email, and we do that weekly, so we won't fill your mailboxes with a bunch of stuff. But that can keep you up to date on the specifics of the week prior and what's going on. On the campaign level, we have a website, walbergforcongress.com, and that isn't our official website as far as representation. That's a campaign website, but that's another place you can find out places where we've at, some positions we've taken, some links to issue items, as well as statements I've made on the floor of the House or in committee, in my chairmanship position or in my committee membership positions.
Great. Tim, we got one more comment from Tim from Milford who wants to say something to you. Go ahead, Tim, welcome aboard. Tim, are you there? No, we're lost. We're having a little trouble getting in our second. Tim, call back when you get a chance. Well, Tim, thank you so much for calling. As always, you are welcome here. Anything I can do to help you along, I will do so, and keep fighting that good fight in Washington for us.
We'll keep at it. Appreciate the privilege. As I tell my colleagues, listen, don't complain about being here at this time in history, even though it's a challenge. Ma, what an opportunity at a time of great significance. And I tell citizens the same thing. Your vote at this election time will go down in history, like the Revolutionary War heroes that we know about, of reclaiming this country. It will be a tough, tough challenge to get it back. It will take some hard decisions. We'll all sacrifice to the point. But if we get through that, like the revolutionaries, we will leave a posterity something that is huge and important and significant to the entire world.
Great.
So thanks for having me on.
Well, hold on. I got one more call. Tim called back in. Go ahead, Derek. Put Tim in for the congressman.
Yeah. Good morning, not afternoon.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I was looking to find out if what's going on with the NDAA. I might be ignorant to some portions of it, but for the most part, I thought we weren't going to be scooped up off the streets, as President Obama said, and be taken away if we are considered terrorists, labeled that way. So why do we have that, and what's going to be done to take that back?
Well, the NDAA is an important bill for our defense capabilities in our country. The problem was there was a provision in there that was not clear that would have given, under the right circumstance, or I guess I should say the wrong circumstances, the opportunity for citizens of the United States to be held without due process, without their Miranda rights being leveled before them, and without any time frame. That was taken care of. Louis Gohmert and Jeff Landry from Louisiana, two conservative colleagues of mine, Rock Rib conservative colleagues of mine, Louis Gohmert being a former judge in Texas, an outspoken conservative, took action, put language in the NDAA bill that we just recently passed that would protect against that, in fact, not protect against, it would define the fact that you couldn't do that to American citizens or even foreigners without due process unless some very extreme situations took place and knowledge of their complicity with terrorism happened. So that was put in an amendment. It was passed in the House, remains in, and it protects against the things that you're concerned about. But it also allows us to continue going after the bad guys,
right?
And making sure that we carry out our number one responsibility as members of Congress, and that's to defend and protect our citizens against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And sadly, in this country right now, we have domestic enemies that are being trained by outside sources to hate America and to do what's necessary and just unbelievable in attacks on our innocence here in this country. And we have to recognize that no longer is this an America that's insulated from these type of things, but frankly, they're right on our shores.
Right. Tim from Wilford, great question. Thank you so much for calling in. And Congressman Tim, that was an awesome answer. How come we did not hear this in the media that this amendment was passed? Can you send us something, email, and I'll spread the word on that?
We could do that, and I think it's probably even on our website and linked to that, but we can get that to you. I mean, we spoke out about it. We sent out press clippings on that as well to make sure that people understand. But it's sad the fact that our majority press will not get out the information that they don't want.
That's exactly right. Well, Tim, thank you so much for calling in. You're always welcome here. Don't be a stranger.
Hey, have a great weekend.
Thank you, Tim. You too.
God bless America.
Yep.
Bye.
Well, that's the end of another show. We will see you next week. In the meantime, go to CourantOnline.com, CourantOnline.com, and check out the Daily Drift. And we'll see you next week. Have a great 4th of July.